Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is the Dean of Atlanta Sports Talk Radio and a member of our 2017 Guest Hall of Fame class, Mr. Bo Bach. Bo has been a tremendous friend of the show over the last several years. Bob and I always look forward to when we get to have Bo as part of the show. He has been the Dean of Atlanta Sports Talk Radio going back to 1973. No one knows Atlanta sports or the suffering of Georgia sports fans better than Bo does, and his insights and knowledge are second to none here in this town, and we're excited that he is back with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Bo, Chris, and Bob, thanks for being patient and coming back on the show.
Well, thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
So, Bo, we got to start first by getting your thoughts on the Falcons. You know, a year ago right now, right, they're preparing for the Super Bowl, and
Chris, you've been telling us that team overachieved.
But, you know, here we are, it's a year later. Unfortunately, they didn't make it back. Your thoughts on what went wrong for the Falcons?
Well, you know what? That's what we can't get to the bottom of. I have lots of thoughts on what went wrong, but the only thought that matters is what does Arthur Blank think? And as we do in this town, we never wrap up a season. We never said what went right, what went wrong. You know, last year we beat the dung out of the Patriots, for crying out. And they, just like Paul was saying, by the way, I agreed with just about everything he said. That's why I love the Eagles this year. And this is going to be one hell of a Super Bowl. But getting back to what you said, there's been no resolution to what happened this year. I can tell you, you know, you had an offensive coordinator and a new defensive coordinator, even though Dan runs the defense. The offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, happens to share the same agent with Dan Quinn. And, you know, it's absurd. He had a terrible year. It took him the 13th week to realize that Devontae Freeman was a pretty good and pretty effective and pretty dangerous pass catcher. And then it took him 15 weeks to realize that we had a kid by the name of Taylor Gabriel on the club, who, by the way, was kind of like the electric bolt that took us down the stretch a year ago. I mean, he's just a sensational receiver with scintillating speed who, stretches the defense and allows things to happen. Now, we never got any type of rhythm like that this year offensively. Defensively, we were not moving as a unit as we were a year ago. So those are two things. Or one thing was it the change in coordinators. Secondarily, the mistake a coach can make, and when you guys were talking about Tim Tomlin, I was thinking about Dan Quinn because, you know, he lost that Super Bowl with just a goofy call down the stretch after, you know, the Patriots had made such a great comeback, but we were still in control of the game. But we handed them the game. It's really Dan Quinn. You know, did he make a mistake of trying to pick up this year where we left off in the Super Bowl, or did he start all over again? And of course, you have to start all over again. A football team, a competitive team in any sport, cannot pick up where they left off. You have to start right at the beginning. So we don't know. That's why I'm interested. I'd love to see something in the paper. Of course, this is the worst sports media market in the country. There's not anybody saying anything here, and no one asking for, you know, what does the owner think? What is the owner? What was the word the owner got from Richie McKay as to what went wrong this year? You know, God, it's absurd when you think about it. We run the thing like a Home Depot.
You know, and Bo, you know, you were telling us since, you know, after the Super Bowl last year, and then as you've joined us throughout this year, you know, hey, last year was sort of a bonus. We weren't really supposed to be there yet. We're a young team. You know, this is going to be our year. It wasn't our year exactly. But is this a team that you feel like, you know, hey, it can still come around and be in a Super Bowl position a year from now? Or is this a team that's now starting to be on the decline?
I think so. First of all, the jury's out on Dan Quinn. You know, that has yet to be resolved. Secondarily, you know, when you miss that window and when you came so close a year ago, you know, it's okay to be mad, but nobody was in horror over the fact that that we lost that Super Bowl. I'm talking about internally, you know, with the Falcons. I'm talking about in the locker room, you know, up in the front office. Those guys are playing bingo, so they don't know. You know, next year, I really don't know. Coming out of last year, I knew we were the best team in football. I knew, you know, if we could, you know, just take, you know, what we had done this year, do the same thing this year, we were going to be back in the Super Bowl and win the thing.
So
I don't know. I really don't know, because you don't know the dynamic that's in that locker room, and they've tightened up everything. You know, I used to be, you know, I was so close to the Falcons, sometimes the guy would find me in his jock, for crying out loud. You know what I mean? but now you can't even get close. You don't know what's going on. You don't get a feel for it. You know, we had a chance, 2 years ago at establishing a culture for the first time, and that was actually 4 years ago, Smitty's last year, when I said every day on the radio that we don't practice hard, and that's why we don't play hard. We're the softest team in the league on Sunday. So right at that point, they decide to close practice to the media. You know, that's Richie McKay, simple, you know, just mindless stuff.
So, Bo, any concerns about Matt Ryan? Is this an offensive coordinator issue? Because when you look at Ryan, right? I mean, league MVP last season, leads the league in passer rating, was, you know, second in passing yards and in touchdowns.
Right.
Well, now this year he takes a step all the way back to sort of mediocrity, right? 15th in the league in passer rating.
Right.
20 touchdowns to 12 interceptions, so 18 fewer touchdowns, 5 more interceptions. Concerns at all about Matt Ryan, or do you look at it as this is an offensive scheme issue?
Yeah, this is definitely an offensive scheme issue. We never reached a rhythm all year, Chris. You know, we didn't, you know, open with the run, you know, we didn't open with the pass, come back with the run. We didn't throw the screen left and right, and then the fourth quarter we didn't run it up the gut. We have no playing personality, you know, and last year was the first year that we could establish that. I keep saying last year, and of course, I mean, you know, the 2016. So, you know, that's what we established that year when we went to the Super Bowl. And, you know, now there is none. No playing personality. When you think about the Falcons, when you close your eyes, you have no image of how they move. And every team has a playing personality, every successful team. So, you know, that's going away. And that's why I said, and I keep saying, you know, what did they tell Arthur? Well, you guys, Arthur had to say to them, guys, you know, unless he's too close, you know, because he loves hanging around and coming down the sideline on Sunday and all that nonsense. But Arthur had to say to Dan Quinn and to Rich McKay and to his 27 ex-GMs he's got on staff, what happened? And I would like to know what was the answer they gave him, because no one knows.
Bob, questions for Bo?
And Bo, I want to stay on that same topic. I just, like Chris said, I wanted to ask you about Matt Ryan. You know, the 20 touchdowns, Bo, that was the lowest total since his rookie season. And with that talent, like a Julio Jones, you would think, my goodness, Matt Ryan can throw 20 just to Julio on a good season. They're that good. But you look, Ryan just did not look good in the two playoff games. To me, Bo, it's kind of obvious. It's the Sarkisian effect. I mean, everything else is the same. It's a new system. Again, when you have superstars like that, those two are two of the best players in football. And you got guys Sanu and the tight end Hooper. These guys are good players. Yeah, yeah. You got to make it happen, man. You really do.
And you didn't even say Taylor Gabriel, just like Steve Sarkisian did. This kid is electric. And to find Freeman, and Freeman catching balls, got great hands. And when he turns upfield and runs downhill, boom. You know, they're scattered. And, you know, we never had that all year. We didn't throw to Coleman. You get Coleman in space, and he goes the distance. There's no rhyme or reason. The guy's the best way Sarkisian can get out of this and look good is give the game to Matt at the line of scrimmage. He's a smart quarterback. His skills have not deteriorated. There was just no rhythm. And like I said, you've taken a couple of his weapons, three of his weapons, out of the mix. I mean, how much better is the guy going to look? And as far as personnel is concerned, we have – who's got better personnel? I mean, well, you from 1 to 52.
It's almost mind-boggling, but like I said, going down the roster, this should have been their year. And again, now you still have guys like Jones and Matt Ryan, 32, 28 years old. I mean, they're still in their prime right now, but you get the idea that they got to make it, they got to do it pretty quick, Bo.
Yeah, if there's something rotten in Denmark, which to me, the whole thing was internal, the guys weren't together on the field. I don't know. Maybe they're getting tired of Dan Quinn's trying to be so hip, you know. We're jacked, and we're gonna, you know, come on, stop, coach. You know, and maybe the guy, you know how easily the guys can get tired of a message that they don't think is authentic, and maybe that's happened. Yeah. I mean, we're a pretty sissified organization up there.
Bo, let's switch gears just a little bit and talk about University of Georgia. Curious to get your thoughts. Here's another team, right, that was right there for a national championship, had a double-digit lead late in the game, and then lost. What's your thought on what happened with the Bulldogs?
Well, what happened with the Bulldogs is, you know, I think they overachieved all year. You know, they've got a great quarterback. They've got good receivers, but not a guy that's going to just take and go 80. Oh, well, they do with that. But, you know, they just ran out of gas. I mean, you're talking about going against a professional football team. I mean, those are the guys, you know, Georgia should have led the South coming out of a football coming out of the South. It should be Georgia and then Alabama. You know, now Georgia is competing like crazy. Kirby Smart did a fantastic job. And when you guys were talking with Paul about somebody, maybe it was Mike Tomlin or something, you know, talking about all the mistakes he made. And everybody knows that. Everybody can kind of see that. You know, he's not great down the stretch. But you know what he is? He's a motivator, and he's a leader, and he gets those guys going every year. And that's the toughest thing to find in a head coach. It's not the X's and O's. Everybody knows X's and O's except for Steve Sarkisian. But you know what I'm saying. Everybody's got the X's and O's quotient. What they don't have is innate leadership ability, and Tomlin does. A guy who can step into the locker room and say, guys, I need you to run through that wall before we go out there because I want to make sure we're ready. I want to make sure that these guys know what hit them came out of the West like a tornado. You know, I mean, just to get them going, get them nutty, get out on the field, get a quick lead, assert yourself, make the other guys submissive, and that's a football coach because you can hire assistants who know more Texas and O's than you do, and you can hire a guy who's been good down the stretch. And, you know, it doesn't take anything away from a head coach who gives that to an assistant coach who's been with a couple of maybe great guys at closing out a game. And there's so many ways to do that, but what you can't do is duplicate what Tomlin does and get them going.
So, Bo, any reason to think Georgia won't be right back in the SEC title
they
game next
be.
Season?
They will be. No, it's on now. You know, don't forget, this program has lagged further behind than any other major program in the country. I mean, when you think about what surrounds Georgia, and you think about what can be, it's only been reluctance on their part that they haven't been able to get these guys going. Kirby Smart knows. Kirby Smart came in here. He didn't come in here with one of those Vince Dooley outlooks and see if he can be doing commercials for Kroger in 40 years. No, he came in here to win and to take Georgia where it's supposed to be. I mean, I love the guy, and I was skeptical. You know, I looked at his haircut. I thought we were getting another Bubba Watson. I didn't know what to think. You know? And he turned out to be a tough guy and a disciplinarian and just a great leader and organizer. Yeah, it's just super to see, because Georgia has been 100 years behind. Ever since Wally Butts and before him, Harry Meir. Those were the only two coaches we had until Kirby.
But we had Steve Barkowski on the show a couple of weeks ago. And Steve was talking about the missed opportunity that the Falcons had in 1980 when they finished 12-4. They had a first-round bye. They hosted the Cowboys in the divisional round and then gave up 20 points in the fourth quarter to unfortunately lose that game. Where does that Falcons team, do you think, rank as among the best Falcons teams that they've ever had?
I think very high. I mean, when you talk about coaches not being able to run a game, Lehman Bennett was one of them. I mean, he was one of the best. In fact, he should be chairman of that group because we got up on Dallas and we sat on the ball. We sat on the ball and allowed Dallas back in the game. Meanwhile, our defense was kicking their hanky. You know, our defense was the heart and soul of the team. That was the beginning of all that grit split stuff. And Jerry Glanville was the whole heart and soul of this football team as the defensive coordinator from 77. Well, actually, he was the defensive backs coach in 77, 78 to 82. He was the guy. He was the Falcons. But Lehman Bennett sat on the ball, and gosh darn it, that was a great, great football team, but just didn't have that leadership ability at the very top.
Bob, one more for Bo before we let him go?
Sure, I might as well just switch it over to baseball quickly. Bo, 2 weeks, pitchers and catchers, you know, we talked last year at this time, and you had high hopes for the Braves. I think a lot of us did, but 18 games under 500, just couldn't win in the new building, et cetera. What's the state of baseball and the feeling among the fans right now, Bo?
It's kind of hovering. You know, there is no feeling. There really is no feeling. Fans don't know what to expect. You know, they don't know if this is an exhibition team, you know, which we were for so many years, and or if this is a team that's serious about competing. There's no chatter. Nobody's anxious, for the season. It's a great place for single moms to take their boys. Other than that, you're not going to get too much of an athletic exhibition.
So, Bo, got to get your quick thought. Who wins on Sunday?
Guys, this is going to be a classic Super Bowl because it's going to be the first RPO Super Bowl. Do you know that Philadelphia doesn't call a pass play? Every play is a run, and it becomes RPO. This is going to be the first RPO Super Bowl. And Philadelphia is going to win it. And you know why? For the same reason I loved us a year ago. I just loved our activity. I loved our intensity. I loved the way we slobber knocked everybody. And That was, you know, in 16, of course, not this past year. And that's the way I see Philadelphia. And I like Peterson. And I don't think Foles is going to fold the tent. I think he's going to be just fine. And, you know, and it's tough to go against Brady. And I mean, Brady's the best to ever dressed out. And he's beautiful to watch. But, you know, I'm just more than anything counting on the law of averages. I just have a sense that Philadelphia is primed for this thing.
Well, before we let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with all the things you're doing online and over social media.
Yeah, it's Bobach at gmail.com if you'd like to get my commentary sent to you every night. And, you know, my website is still being designed right now, but if you can send me your email address to Bobach@gmail.com, I'd be happy to put you on a list. It's good stuff. It's the only stuff you hear in Atlanta.
Well, Bo, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. Bob and I always love spending time with you, my friend. We look forward to catching up with you again, hopefully real soon.
Thanks, Chris. And you know what? The other thing is, you know, like when Chipper Jones or Dominique Wilkins are introduced, you know, they say, the Hall of Famer, Dominique Wilkins. I'm a Hall of Famer.
That's right. You're darn right you are.
I'm a Hall of Famer. Don't give me that full box stuff. Hall of Famer, full box.
That's right.
Got to remember
indeed.
Next time.
Yeah, please.
Take care.
Some respect. See you.
All right,
take care, Bo. That's the great Bobach. And again, he's you can find him on Twitter at Bobach790 and then Bobach@gmail.com. Get his newsletters. Fantastic stuff. And Bob, always so much fun having Bo as part of the show.
I love his sense of humor, but you get the passion in his voice, Chris. He cares about Atlanta sports and like none other, for sure.